celebrate Christmas?
Oh, all month long.
Big dinner with lots of presents.
Presents?
Presents.
Go to church?
I go into church and be with my friends and family.
We read the story from Luke.
Cut down a Christmas tree and decorate it. And we like to be with family and eat lots of good food.
Lots of food.
Mashed potatoes, turkey.
Homemade tamales.
Brisket.
We still like the gifts and stuff like that for the children.
We open presents on Christmas Day, and then the next day we leave to go to Grandma's house.
With family and friends and Christmas Eve service at church.
The perfect gift.
The best gift.
Anything that involves Star Wars.
Just good health and fun times.
See the tickets to the New York Yankees.
Anything from the heart.
My kids. Kids for Christmas.
Having kids or getting to see them?
No, just getting to be with them. I don't need no more.
I want to get a Game Boy.
Concert tickets.
Money.
Money.
Lots of money.
A Barbie.
A four-wheeler.
A boat.
A new truck.
A brand new Mercedes.
Some new motorcycle accessory.
World peace.
Just for the family to be together and everybody be happy.
My mom and dad getting back together.
I'm going to have to get out of jail and quit drinking.
So why do we celebrate Christmas?
Probably it's about the day Jesus was born.
As you get to celebrate with your family and see everybody.
Merry Christmas, Jesus' mother.
It's actually Christ's birthday is what it is.
The three kings came out to the stables to see him.
Actually, I was born and raised Jehovah's Witness, so I never got to celebrate Christmas.
I think it's time to really look at what you've gotten over the year and what you can give for the next year.
And it is an age-old tradition, so we like to uphold that tradition.
All right, well, that little spot caught my eye when I was preparing this week, and I like to think at regular events like Christmas or birthdays or any celebration to ask the question, why are we doing this? What is it about? Now, it might be because I'm not much into traditions, I don't know. Doing the same thing year after year, month after month, day after day. I like to ask the question, why? Maybe it's because I'm introspective and analytical, or maybe a little too practical at times. A coworker was telling me recently how last Christmas he gave one of his relatives the exact same gift card and the same amount that they gave to him. And he said, what's the point? And I would have to agree with him. What's the point? Why don't they just go out themselves and cut that out? But I like this video because it makes me think about Christmas. Why do I celebrate Christmas? What am I looking forward to? What will make this Christmas special? Now, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy giving and receiving gifts. I like Christmas music, some, and as long as it's not started too early in the season. I like snow. We don't get much of that in Ohio, but I like it. Well, kind of less and less, but I still like it. I like singing Christmas carols and receiving Christmas cards and letters from families, from friends and family. I like that brisk feel in the air when you walk outside and you watch the leaves swirling around and the sharp wind. But like I said, I'm starting to like that less and less as I grow older. Florida starts to look a little bit more appealing each year. But what do you like about Christmas? And what are you looking forward to? If I asked you to respond to that question, I'm wondering what you would say. Now, I think probably most of you would recognize he's up to something. So I need to think about what I should say for that answer, for that question. And of course, instead of saying maybe a new laptop, you might say, well, it's Jesus' birth, of course. That's what I'm looking forward to. Celebrating that. We look at this video, and I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I look at things like this and say, wow, most people don't have a clue what Christmas is about, do they? But each year, I find that I myself know less and less about Christmas. Now, it's true, part of that is because some things are falling out of my head as I grow older. But that's not the point I was making. Each year, I find that I know less and less about what I thought Christmas was about or who God was about. These things of God that I reduced to elementary thoughts and ideas and even traditions are much deeper, much more mysterious and wonderful than I could ever in 100 lifetimes understand and know. Each year, Christmas could be more wonderful and more majestic and more amazing than the year before. Now today, I invite you to join me in looking for the treasure of Christmas. I'll tell you right now that it will be a challenge to find. It will take some seeking, some planning, some preparation. It will take a desire in your heart. And I invite you not to settle for the cheap imitations or ridiculous substitutes this world has to offer you. Push them aside. You may have to fight. I went through my paper this morning. Half of it, you know what they are, advertisements. You may have to fight. You might have to push things aside that society wants to push on you. You may have to get tough with things and get them out of your life. Now, don't go through those ads because my wife wants some coupons out of there later. But you get the point. If you seek, you will find the treasure of Christmas. This is a season the church has traditionally called Advent. On the table here in front, we have an Advent wreath. Now, last year, someone asked me what this wreath was about. And I stumbled around a little bit and said, well, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's about expectation or looking forward. Hey. Oh, he's picking them up for me. Thanks, Tom. Thought he was taking them home. But I didn't really know what the Advent wreath really signified. So this season I did some study and looking into what is this Advent wreath about. Now, most of my information comes from a website called The Voice Institute. I really appreciated some of the things they had to share on that website. But Advent means coming or arrival. It refers to not only the first coming of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate this time of year, as a baby in a manger, but it also refers to his second coming, when he will return as king to judge the earth. And you and I are living in between those two events. The spirit of Advent is one of expectation, one of longing, of anticipation. Not only do we anticipate the celebration of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, but we live in expectation of the day when Jesus the King will come again at the end of the world, as Scripture tells us. Now, the circle of the wreath of Advent, it's actually a circle, reminds us of God Himself, His eternity, His endless mercy, which has no beginning or end. The green of the wreath speaks of the hope that we have in God, the hope of newness, a renewal of eternal life. So you think of an evergreen, think of everlasting life, eternal life. Candles symbolize the light of God coming into the world through the birth of His Son. The four outer candles represent the period of waiting during the four Sundays of Advent, which themselves symbolize the four centuries of waiting between the prophet Malachi and the birth of Christ. And I got that off that website, and I focused in on that word waiting. The whole world has been waiting for deliverance since sin entered the world at the beginning. The threads of the promise of a deliverer, a redeemer, are woven throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis, God promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And later on in the book of Genesis, we see God promised Abraham that from his offspring, all nations of the world would be blessed. Through the prophets, God promised the Israelites a deliverer, a savior, a king, not just for them, but for the entire world. And so the world has waited for thousands of years for the coming of this deliverer, this Messiah, this savior. One thing I wanted to do together this morning is sing this song of Advent. And one song that's typically sung with Advent is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I like to sing this together. Focus in on the words of this song as it is a song of longing, of expectation. I want to go ahead and dim the lights, and we'll have, while we sing this song, Richard and Robin are going to come up and light the first Advent candle. Let's sing the verse part, the first top part there in unison, and then if you know the parts, feel free to split off in parts for the chorus. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse free, thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, great Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. (Clears What is it that can be found this Christmas? Hope. Hope begins as one small light as we see this light here in front of us in a world of darkness. Just like this first candle of Advent symbolizes hope. This week I was catching up with a coworker, what was going on in his life, and I listened as he poured out his frustration about the problems that he was having. It was a long list. The remaining shrapnel from the explosion of a previous marriage, the frustration of poor choices that his grown children were making in marriage, in dating relationships, trouble with the law, laziness, and you could almost name it as he went down the list of problems in his family. I listened and had a deep sadness in my heart. Oh, that he could discover the hope of this season, the hope of Christmas. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Later this week, I listened to a Christian friend as he shared about the pain in his life of his own children who were taking steps away from the Lord. He was very discouraged and had lost hope. We wept together. We prayed together. And as I was preparing for this message, I had to think again. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel shall come to thee. From the words of Isaiah the prophet, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus read these words to the people and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The people were stunned. And so should we be. Do we understand the impact of this momentous event that happened some 2,000 years ago? I don't think so. And that, I think, is a good reason for Advent. To rediscover the mystery of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, born as a child, fully God, yet fully man. To understand why this event is like no other in history, why it brings tremendous hope to us and the world. To envision the good news being preached to the poor. Good news! Good news! We have such good news to offer the world. Do you understand how good this news of Jesus Christ is? He can heal your broken heart. Only He can bring true healing, the true healing that your soul needs. He offers freedom for the captives. We have all been captives to sin and the selfish desires of our heart. Jesus offers freedom. Only He can truly set you free. He brings light into this world of darkness, just as we see the light around us here. He can remove the darkness from your soul. He can transform your life. Only He can truly change you. And there's more. Continuing with the words of Isaiah the prophet. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and of the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, instead of mourning, a garment of praise. instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of His splendor. We could spend hours talking of the hope we have in the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering, where is your hope this morning? We would all have to admit that some of our hope is wrapped up in this world and what it has to offer us. We're confused about what we really need and are convinced that the things that we own and acquire will bring what our soul needs. And we are continually hoping for new things and new ways to make the money that we need to afford them. And so Christmas becomes another event focused on things. Much of our hope is wrapped up in our families, or maybe lack of families for those who are single. Our expectations, our joy, our anticipation is wrapped up in how things are going in our families, in doing things for our families and with our families. We could name a lot of things this morning. The list would be long of where our hope is placed. Friends, good health, financial stability, a free country, etc. But I'm wondering, what if all of those things were taken away? Could you still have hope? The truth is that all of these things will let us down. If you think that merely a change in your situation in life is going to make you happy, your life will be a roller coaster. What do you put your hope in? Believe it or not, some people put their hope in me, as a husband, as a father, and even as a pastor. And yet, I have disappointed all of them at various times. I have let them down. And someday, I won't be here. Someday, I will die, just like the people who have before me, and just like every one of you sitting here today, we will all die. What then? When my mother was a teenager, she had her heart set on getting married. A few weeks ago, I joined my sister up in my mother's home. She was killed suddenly in an accident several months ago, and so we were going through her things. And as we were going through them, we found a newspaper clipping about a plane crash. All three occupants in the plane were killed, and one of them was my mother's boyfriend. She had kept this clipping for years. Hadn't talked about it much. I knew vaguely about the story, but not much about it. I don't know how she handled that, what went through her mind, how she worked through that. But she was set on having a husband, and she set off from Oregon to Michigan to go to a Bible college. And part of the reason she went there was to find a husband. She was successful in that. She met my dad there. And some of the other things that we were going through, we found a box with a ribbon tied around it. And inside that box were all the letters that she had written to my dad while they were dating. A little while later, we found another box. And these were all the letters that my dad had written to my mother. She'd kept them all of these years. So we didn't read through all of them yet, but I looked at a couple. It was very interesting. But my dad was a treasure to her. Her husband was a treasure to her. And then suddenly, almost 20 years ago, it'd be 20 years ago, this December 17th, my dad was suddenly taken from her with a heart attack. My mom was devastated. She eventually found a way to deal with life, but it was never the same. She often thought of what could have been or what should have been, and she struggled with depression. How would you respond if the things you hold dear in life were suddenly ripped from your hands? Would you still have hope Some of you are convinced right now that if your current situation, the problems or difficulties that you're in, were to change, then and only then will things be all right. And my question for you is, what if it doesn't? What if it stays the same? What then? What do we do then? Do we still have hope? Will your Christmas be about all of those other things? Or will it be about the one who can give eternal hope? He is the only hope for you and the world. And I hope that you take the time during this Advent season to anticipate with longing, to look for and discover anew this Jesus who can bring eternal hope for us in this life.
He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. When sorrow seems to surround you, when suffering hangs heavy on your head, know that tomorrow brings wholeness and healing. God knows your need, just believe what He said. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. When what you've done keeps you from moving, when fear wants to make a solid home in your heart, know that forgiveness brings wholeness and healing. God knows your need, just believe what is there. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. He gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, peace for despair. I once was lost, but God has found me. Though I was bound, I've been set
free.
Been made righteous in His sight. And despair, this splendor all can see. I once was lost, but God has found me. Though I was bound, I've been set free. I've been made righteous in His sight. And despair, this splendor all can see.
Peace for despair.
Peace.